Hey everybody, how you guys doing? Everybody's always asking about my story, so I thought I'd start out by sharing my story, where I've come from, and what's been my path along the way. Now, many of you may or may not know that I was just born and raised in a small little town of about 2,000 people. You know, the stores pretty much closed at 5:30 every day, closed Sunday. You know, just picture small town America. Like, we had like this weekly newspaper, and that weekly newspaper had all kinds of little articles about it because there probably wasn't enough for every day. Now, for me, because it was close, I attended a local university and obtained a four-year degree in computers, which was great. I also worked at a local computer business, a little mom and pop local computer business. Great people, really, really nice. Learned a lot there. Then I had an opportunity to move to Illinois, specifically to the Chicago suburb area. So you know what? I took it. I there worked for a national computer store chain, helping people with their computers. And then I went to work for a Fortune 500 company, and I just worked in the computer area and I helped set corporate standards. And I was just one of a handful of people that did that. So while I was there, I was blessed to be married. I got married when I was there, found the woman that I was wanting to spend my life with. I moved back to Michigan the very year we got married, because my goal was to go work in that computer business that I left, you know, a couple years before. But here was the thing, after about 2 weeks of being there, I gave my 2 weeks notice. Great people, just wasn't working out, wasn't the same anymore, but still great folks. So the real question was, what was I going to do? Well, what I did is I started working for a local manufacturing company running their computer system, and then I decided on the side I was going to start up my business. And as that business grew, you know what? So did the challenges. The challenges of helping customers, the challenges of, you know, running a business. Also, the challenges of sales, meeting people, figuring out what they needed, all of that type of thing. You know, it was just me in the business. I had made the decision, right or wrong, I think I found out later that's not what I wanted to do, that it was only going to be me and I wasn't going to add anyone. And here was the thing, have you ever kind of felt alone? Plus, I had even more challenges. You see, I was wanting and I was yearning to win what I'd call the money game. I wanted lots of money. I wanted to pay my bills. I wanted to save some. I wanted to buy the toys. I basically wanted to do whatever I wanted. I wanted to escape that 9-to-5 grind that I'd been on for so long. Plus, I was working and I was gone all the time in my business. And back then, there was really no way to remote in and support somebody. This was way before the days of doing that. So I actually had to get in the car and drive to the client to help them. You see, what I was doing was I was exchanging hours for dollars. That's all I was doing. I'll give you 10 hours of this, you give me 10 hours of pay. But that's what I had decided on. Which, you see, I was in that car way too much too. You know, I'd normally drove like 30,000 to 60,000 miles a year. You know, you get on that traffic circle and it just goes around and around and around. And I really just wanted to stop being accountable to someone, to those people that I was serving. You know what? I was giving them all the benefit. And I ask myself a lot, do I really like doing this? Isn't that funny? I set it up for myself and I was asking myself, do I really like doing this? You see, I really like the people. I really enjoyed the relationships that I had, but I still had what I'd consider to be a midlife crisis like every 3 years. Now, I found out later why, in like some article, I can't remember where it was, but it was talking about computer people, computer support people, typically about every 3 years change jobs because they get burned out. Well, if that's the case, that supported my every 3 year burnout. But here was part of the challenge. That midlife crisis piece, that burnout, I just couldn't afford that little red Corvette to drive around. You know, I had some other desires too, but I really never told anybody. You know what? I wanted people to see me making it. You know, small town boy does good type of thing. I wanted to work from home, and you know what? I really wanted to make money. I wanted to live on my terms. And I really didn't know what else to do to provide the lifestyle, to pay the bills, to just get by, you know, doing that. I wanted to prove to others that I could do it. And I didn't want to be held to some type of time constraint. You know, you got to work from here to here and all of that type of jazz. I wanted to call my own shots and to succeed or to fail based on me, what I put into it. If I put in a lot, great. If I didn't put any in, I understand that too. And here's the thing. I didn't want to be like 65 or 70 years old, still installing computer systems, you know, have a tattoo on my arm right here with a computer screen with wings on it and flames coming out of it. That isn't what I wanted to be doing at all. You know, and I wasn't having as much fun as I thought I was going to have about computers either. And I was really beginning to lose my motivation. You know, not having fun, losing motivation. And I was having a hard time getting it all back. I just kept doing all of this because I wanted people to really like me, you know, to respect me for what I'd done. I had done that for other people, you know, for what I was able to accomplish all on my own. I wanted to really be appreciated, and I wanted people to really love me. And finally, you know what? I'd had it. I didn't want to do that all of my life. I needed a change. And I'm so grateful for everything. Never think that I was never grateful for all that, for all the people that I met, for helping people, for all the income and the stuff that came in. Totally grateful for all of that. But I was just tired of driving all the time. I was tired of the crazy odd hours. You know, before I didn't want to work 9 to 5. Now I'd work 7 in the morning to 8 at night. I was working longer than I ever was before. And I was just tired of being on call all the time, it seems like, all the time, you know, 24 hours a day, you know, having to be ready no matter what came up. And I was tired of having to drop everything, stop everything I was doing, leave, you know what, and then not be appreciated for what I did. And I just kept asking myself, you know what else can I change, or what else can I do? And because I couldn't stand yet another midlife crisis. You know what? I just got tired and I got worn out working so hard all the time. You know, I'd work for people and I'd get paid, but really there was no thanks in it. And really that wasn't in the contract either. And seldom, if ever, was I ever recognized for my contribution. You know, one thing that my wife said to me really hit home. You know what? I had been gone all day. I had been on that traffic circle out there. I'd been gone 2 hours in the morning, driving a long way, working all day, getting back. And we were standing in the bedroom and we were by the jewelry chest. And I was tired. It had been a long day. And then she said something to me that she shared with me in love. And she basically said, you know what? You're working so hard for us. And I'm so grateful. I get that. And you know what? You make time for us on the weekends, and that's wonderful. But here's that one statement, one of them, that really changed it all for me. And I was not the same after she shared it with me, and I still am not. And she basically said, you know what? If you keep on working like you're working, at the pace that you're working, at the schedule that you're working, you know what? Our kids are going to grow up and not know their dad. Wow. That like, ugh. And it was a good stab. Okay. It wasn't a bad stab. Wow. That was really spoken from the heart. I mean, she really said it with love and heart, and she didn't want to hurt me, but she wanted me to know what was going on. Those were words I really needed to hear. And I knew at that point I needed to change my path. My kids were going to grow up and they were going to know me, you know, for good or bad. But I wasn't sure how at first. I didn't know how I was going to do that. And I just kept searching for answers as to what I could really do. You know, I looked in business books and I looked in magazines for ideas. You might have done the same. You go to the back of those magazines, you see some opportunities, you go look them up. Or, you know what, you'd watch late night and weekend infomercials and you'd search for just that one or two things that you could go look at that maybe that was a possibility, something that just resonated with you. And then I was reminded again from my mentor and good friend Harold. Now let me tell you a little bit about Harold. You know what? He lived in my hometown all of his life. Harold was this tall, thin gentleman, you know what, of great stature and great understanding. He was like this real life walking of example, really, of like business, you know, and of knowledge. And he had that certain magnetism. You know what I'm talking about? That made you just want to sit down and listen to his every word. Somebody that you could look up to. Now here was what was unique about Harold in my eyes. Harold served in the Army Air Corps in World War II as a West Point instructor. And after the war, he started an independent insurance agency with his dad that's still in business today. He also started a realty company, still in business today. And when he was 62 years old, or right about in that area, he studied and he got certified in nutrition so he could help others in that area. Now here's something he did. In like 2004, 2005, 2006, somewhere right around in there, he had told me multiple times, Scott, you need to sell your house because there's a crash that's coming. And guess what? He says, you'll be able to buy your house back for a huge discount, for pennies on the dollar. And you know what? I didn't listen to him. And I should have. Have you ever done that? Now, here's a few other things about Harold. He was active in the community on various boards for both profit and nonprofit entities. And he was also just a very, very nice person. Now, when I stopped by with my new fiance for the very first time, we went up to his house, and his house was at the top of a really nice hill in town, and it had those big double doors, like grand front entrance right there. And I remember ringing the doorbell, and Harold came to the door, and he opened it up, and he smiled, put out his hand, shook my hand, and then I introduced him to my fiance at the time, who is now my wife. And he shook her hand, gave her a great big hug, and this is what he said. Any friend of Scott's is a friend of mine. Wow. Wow, that was huge. That really meant a lot to me that day. What a great example. I want to have those qualities when I get older. Here's another interesting thing to me. Harold was also an active stock trader. You know, based on what I saw, what I've seen, what I've experienced, I don't think he was an amateur. I remember early on, and this was somewhere in the late 70s. I mean, doesn't it seem like the late 70s? Doesn't that seem like just ages ago? For some, maybe we weren't even born. But this is way before we had computers in the home that were even, you know, available. I remember being in his home office there, and it was just off of the tennis courts. And when I was in his home office, there on the west wall, sitting on his desk, was one of those old, like, you know, yellowish orange terminals sitting there blinking, doing all kinds of light. Remember those? You know, I'd say today you'd probably have to go to the Smithsonian to see one of those. But you know what? Here's what was on that screen. There were livestock quotes coming from the satellite that was up on his roof. That was unheard of at the time. Remember, I've been in Chicago. I've been working for a Fortune 500 company. I figured we were like 4 years ahead of what was going on in the little rural place that I came from. But here I was at his home with all this going on. I knew he was serious. That right there proved to me he was serious. I had to just reflect back. I can just see that right now in my mind's eye. And over the years, Harold always encouraged me. He was encouraging me to learn more about trading in the markets. And this is what Harold always talked about as we talked about and needed to learn about trading. He said, you need to learn about the stock market, Scott, so you can understand how money moves. And then you'll understand the truth about how much that really goes on. And then you can possibly profit from it. He also gave me like a few books to read about trading. But you know what? I never really got it. You know, I'm a smart guy, but I just didn't get it. But I knew. And I knew that I knew that I needed to learn this. And I knew somehow I could and I would make it work. This is what I was going to do. I came up with a plan. Now, when you're handed the truth, I believe that you've got to do something with it. You see, I wasn't just going to sit by knowing how unhappy I really was. I was done being unmotivated. I was done being about, you know, being unhappy about what was going on, being paralyzed to make a change. You see, over the years, I had watched Harold make money in his home office trading. And I remember him taking some papers out of his filing system. It was right below the television that I always had one of the financial channels on those big old big tube televisions. And I remember going down to one of those drawers and pulling the drawers open, and he had some of his brokerage statements in there. And, you know, he shared a little bit about that with me, and he showed me some of those brokerage statements to show me he was really a trader and what he was doing as a trader. And on one occasion, he even shared with me how much he had lost on one trade, on one transaction. And let me tell you, it was a lot. You know what? But that call of understanding how money moves and then profit from the move, that really hit me. And if Harold had confidence in me, and, you know, he'd look at my background, he's obviously telling me the truth that I can do it, because he never once lied to me about anything, about anything. So I set out to find a way to learn to trade. And I decided that something had to change in my life. I just couldn't keep on doing what I was doing anymore. I tried reading the trading books Harold gave me. You know, I even went to the library and checked out books on trading and the stock market. And I looked even at videos on the internet, but all it was a bunch of disconnected data that I couldn't seem to bring together, and there didn't seem to be any system at all. Basically, I really didn't understand very much, to be honest with you. You know, it all sounded like just a bunch of techno babble. What does this all mean? But I did stumble across a few companies offering, you know, what I would call public education in like a seminar setting. So I decided to look into them. I evaluated them, and, you know, I picked one to go with and to learn from. I figured I could learn everything they showed me. Then I'd just apply it, and then I'd be a successful trader. You know, I'd been successful in other areas of my life. You know, even though I was unhappy, I was making money, but I didn't want to be unhappy, so why not trade? Plus, Harold was always there encouraging me. I figure I'd focus and implement just what I was told. I'd give it 100% of my time, 100% of my effort, 100% of my energy to make it happen and to be profitable. You know, I'd test out what I learned in the live markets, you know, doing like simulated trading. Hey, and then I'll go live. Made a lot of sense to me. I'd be profitable in no time, right? Well, I figured for my results, I'll just model what I remembered Harold doing, and I'd probably get the same or probably similar results. And unfortunately, as I was learning, Harold passed away. My lifeline that I could go to for so much stuff was no longer around. I missed his friendship, you know, the discussions on trading, you know, for talking about business ideas, you know, to just sit at his feet and learn from him. Plus, there was no one else trading profitably that I even knew. And I knew there was just no one coming There was no one running to my rescue, to help me or to save me. Harold was missed then, and he's still missed by me today. And he's not missed because of what he knew. He's missed because of the person that he is. And let's talk about the rest of the story, about what happened that has nothing to do with Harold. You see, I was following and learning what I'd learned about from all those seminars. Harold had passed away. You know, all of that stuff, it sure seemed straightforward on paper when I'd look at it. And it made a whole lot of sense when they showed a chart to me and how it worked. And I could easily talk about those many terms and the concepts of trading. I mean, they always talk about, you know, cocktail party discussion. Oh, I could talk it up and down. I could sell you on the idea of why it was so interesting and important. But here's the big catch. I wasn't making any money. In fact, I was having a hard time in simulated trading, let alone go to real funded trading. So I decided I'd trade with real money. Why not do that? And then maybe it would be different. And that was a bad decision. Here's what I really should have done. I should have just filled a metal bucket with money, filled it all up, set it on fire, and then just walked away. Because I believe I would have been farther ahead. You see, no matter what I did, no matter what I tried, I just couldn't make money trading. And I was really struggling. I was trying to make all this work while trying to get out of that computer business. And I was struggling at trading. And it was so painful sometimes to trade, knowing I knew what I was doing, but I was really unable to really do it. That's the key. I was even more embarrassed to share my trading results, how terrible and really pathetic they were, with my wife or yet anybody else. I was so frustrated when I traded too. When I'd have a losing trade, I'd yell like at one of these computer screens back here at the top of my lungs. And it wouldn't be just one word. It could be multiple words that I was saying. I'd slam my fist on the desk as hard as I could. And I hurt my fist a couple of times. You know, it's as if those charts right there, right back there, they were looking right at me. And they'd be seeing what I was going to do, what trade I wanted to do. And those charts would do just the opposite almost every single time. And that would just set me off, get me upset, you name it. I mean, the same things happen over and over and over again. I'm amazed I never gave up. I even thought a few times, and you may have thought the same thing, you know what? If I would just trade opposite of what I was thinking, you know, I'd really be good at this trading. But you know what? It made a lot of sense logically, but that didn't work out either. You see, all the time I was doing this, I never gave up. And the reason I never gave up was because of Harold. Harold was my vision. Harold had encouraged me to learn how to trade for all the right reasons. So why couldn't I get this? You know, whenever I'd get discouraged with my results, I would always hear Harold's voice in my head encouraging me. You see, this wasn't a should learn to trade. For me, this was a must learn to trade. I must make this happen. I didn't know how I was going to, but I knew I must. And because I never gave up, although I had every reason to give up, eventually my trading changed. But it wasn't easy. I had a lot of struggling days, but I knew there was a solution. If I could just get out of my own way, it seemed like. You see, there were also times when I was so frustrated, I can't believe I didn't pop a blood vessel. You know what I mean? But what I discovered was I was trading the wrong way. So what do I mean about trading the wrong way? Well, I discovered that there was one main primary element of trading that no one really ever taught me. No one had even mentioned it to me. And if they had, I had missed it countless times. I had been so focused on finding the pattern that I missed it. I'd been so focused on following the rules to the letter, I missed it. I had been so focused on making the decision to trade because I wanted to make money so badly that I missed it. I had been so focused on executing the trade in the trading platform with the brokerage that I missed it. Here's what I missed. It took me way too long to find it. Here is the key to my success as a trader. The key to me being a profitable trader, but more than that, a consistent profitable trader. The missing piece that exposed the profits that I put into my pockets. And it's this. I need a compelling reason to trade. That's what was missing. You see, in my life, before I'd make a buying decision, I needed a compelling reason to trade. It doesn't matter if it's a small item or a large item. I need a reason. So if I'm going out and I want a little snack and it's a candy bar, I need a compelling reason to pick up that specific one. And if, for example, if I buy a huge item like a car, I need a compelling reason to buy that car. If they wanted to sell me a beater, you better give me a really compelling reason to buy that beater or else I'm not buying it. And before I bought my home, I needed a compelling reason to buy it. And I knew what those compelling reasons are. You see, almost every decision I make, I have a compelling reason. Except in one area where I missed it. My trading. A compelling reason to trade was the missing piece. You see, that allowed me to access the trading profits that I was missing all along. And it gave me, and it gives me, consistent, profitable trades. And now profitable trading is a total reality. So who have I become in this whole process anyways? Well, what I do know is I don't need other people to realize that I've made it. I've made it for all the right reasons, just like Harold said. I'm living life on my terms. I'm doing what I want, when I want, how I want to do it, with the people that I want to do it with. Wherever I want to do it. And it gives me, and I have the freedom that I was looking for all of those years. And it offers me the lifestyle I was looking for all along as well. I'm not on the road all the time, missing my family. I'm at practically every event. And I still get to stop by and visit folks and have those friendships that I so enjoy. And I'm not responsible for them anymore and their outcomes. Plus, I'm calling the shots, making my own decisions. I'm in charge of my life, reaping the results of what I do. I now know that I won't be 65 or 70 years old, unappreciated, setting up computer systems. Today, I have a lot of fun trading. It is a lot of fun. I have a great family. I have great friends. I have great relationships. And I've been hosting a live futures trading room each weekday for over 2 years. Plus, I'm helping other traders get out of their own ways like I had to for me. And I am really motivated. Plus, I'm trying to be the best herald that I can be for you and for others. And folks, that's my story. Thanks for listening. If you've got comments or questions, let me know. Be glad to help them or help you. I'll be glad to answer any of them I can for you. Let me know a little bit about your story. If there's any way I can help you, let me know. Have a great day. We'll talk to you soon.